I was going to say, I forgot about is that we are still working on the vegetable garden behind here. The grant has gone through, and so the lady upstairs named Debbie, who's newer to our daycare, she has done all the paperwork for that and said by February next month, they'll be getting the funds to start this little vegetable garden back here and should maybe breathe on and grow bigger as well. So I just want to kind of pass that on. Keith Needham is a good friend now for, I think, over 20 years of our worship leader here, James Kreitz. He served as a teacher and evangelist for over 25 years. He recently appeared on the Trinity Broadcast Network's Praise the Lord show. Evangelist Needham has traveled throughout the state of Texas. He delivers his messages via DVD across the country. He's trained under the ministry of the late Pastor John Osteen of Houston, Texas. Keith remained a faithful member of Lakewood Church even during his years in college at Southwest Texas State University during the 80s and early 90s. He traveled 175 miles one way every weekend to learn from Pastor Osteen's ministry, and he's since kept alive not only Pastor John Osteen's message of hope and love, but also the demonstration of signs and wonders that should follow all believers of Jesus Christ. So this man's got good credentials, he has a good spirit, and he's got also a good background as well. We appreciate him all being with us today this Sunday morning, one of the first speakers we've had, the first speaker of the year 2012. Let's all give a warm welcome to Evangelist Keith Needham as he comes here and ministers today.
Hallelujah. After hearing that, I want to hear myself preach. That was good. Hallelujah. Now, where did the usher go named Greg? See here? Oh, I need Greg to do something for me, or whoever he might be. First, let me tell you that if you want to be a part of my DVD mailing list, I have brought a page for you to sign up on that. I don't charge anything for it. I send it out postage paid and free of charge. Hallelujah. I don't have to get on there and beg for money. Thank you, Jesus. And so I'm going to give this in just a moment to an usher, and it will be at the back of the church when I get through preaching. You can, and stay right there a minute. Just stay right there a minute. You can sign up for it. Also, everybody, don't get the dropsy. Stay there. I have some extra DVDs that I recently mailed out. I made a couple of extras. One of these is the Trinity Broadcasting Network interview, and these other five are a message that I preached in, goodness gracious, June of 2011, and the title is Restored Authority. So those are back in the back. If you want to get those after the service, the first five people gets those, and if you don't get it back there the first five, you're just not lucky, I guess. Hallelujah. Well, is everybody awake? Yeah. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask you to do a few things. First, I'm going to ask you to stand up and rest your body, and I want to begin by thanking I want to thank Pastor Mike and Pastor Cheryl for having me here. I've been here a few times, came as a guest of James and Donna. And every time I've been here, Pastor, there is such a sweet spirit at this church, a very welcoming spirit. And I go all over to preach, and I don't find that everywhere. And so I want to commend your pastors for not only birthing that spirit in this church, but for nurturing that spirit in this church. It's a place where people feel welcome. It's a place where people can come to get their needs met, and that's just a wonderful thing. So God bless the both of you. And also, I met their daughter, Sarah, the youngest or oldest?
The youngest.
And so that was a joy, too. You know, there are a lot of people in here, and I would like for you to just take a minute and find a couple of people that you did not ride to church with and that you haven't greeted yet, and greet them in the name of Jesus. And then when you do that, you can come back and stay standing right in front of your seat. Hallelujah. That's okay. Somebody up here took it. It was some DVDs they're going to give out. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I was trying to figure out exactly what year I met James, and I think it was 1987. So it was 25 years ago. I was 3. See, I'm a young preacher. You got an old song leader. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, James, you stand a moment, but James, he was just thirsty for the Holy Ghost. I don't know if you'll remember this, James, but I checked into the dorm, and he was responsible for filling out the who to call in case of an emergency card. And I walked into the office that day, and he said, "Okay, Keith, here's your key. Who would you like me to call in case of emergency?" And I said, "John Osteen." And he looked at me kind of strange. He said, "Don't you want your parents?" I said, "They ain't saved. Don't call them. Call somebody who can do something in an emergency." I said, "Put it down, John Osteen." And it wasn't too long after that, there came a knock on the door, and it was James. He says, "You think you could talk?" I said, "What you need to talk about?" He says, "Well, I'm kind of interested in that Holy Ghost." I said, "Let me get my Bible." And James was one of those people who was so thirsty for the Holy Ghost. We went into his little room there, and I was about to lay hands on him to receive the Holy Ghost. And I knew this was somebody, you know, there's some people when you're getting to lay hands on them, you got to get out of the way because you're going to get hurt. And James was one of those people. Now, when James tells the story, he says, "As soon as Brother Keith touched me, I began talking in other tongues." I never touched James that I remember. I remember I was reaching for James, and he said, "Korabashandi olabokoye." And I just moved on back. Praise God for the Holy Ghost. Well, I tend to get a little wild sometimes, so if I do, y'all just get wild with me, all right? I've been doing this now for 27 years, so I'm going to ask you to do it with me, if you will. Go ahead and open up your Bible to two openings while you're standing. And the first opening I want you to turn to is John 7, and then I want you to turn to Acts chapter 1. John 7 and Acts chapter 1. And you can just hold something in there. Okay, everybody got that? I'm going to get you to do this with me. I've been doing this for 27 years. Pastor Osteen told me, 1985, you do this every time you preach. I said, "Yes, sir. I major on being obedient." And I know he's in heaven looking at me. So hold your Bible up. That makes the devil nervous when you do that. Shake it a little bit. Now we got electronic Bibles. Everybody say this like you mean it. Say, "This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I'll be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'll never be the same. I am about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'll never be the same. Never, never, never. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen." Hallelujah. You may be seated. If you don't get anything out of my message, that'll do you good. Hallelujah. In John chapter 7, I'm going to read to you beginning in verse 37, and then I'm going to have you turn over to Acts chapter 8. In verse 37, the Bible states that in the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and he cried, saying, "If any man, if any woman, if any person is thirsty, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Can I get an amen? Okay, turn over to Acts chapter 1, and I'm going to teach you for a little while this morning from Acts chapter 1, but I wanted to set that up as a precedent before I began, because I was thinking, as I was preparing today for this message, something that my pastor told me about many years ago. He told me he used to travel all over the world and go to India, and I was thinking about him when you were talking about going in with those boots, because he made that mistake one time and didn't break his boots in before he went up on this mountain in India. And was riding an elephant up there, 75 years old, and trying to get back in there where these natives were who had never heard the name of Jesus. And he crawled out on this ledge to pray and got into a hornet's nest. And he didn't have the right kind of shoes on. He couldn't get out of there real quick. So when he got back to the United States, he was covered in hornet's bites. And we said, well, I said, Pastor Osteen, how was your trip? He said, oh, praise God, so many people got filled and with the Holy Ghost. And so many people got saved. And I said, well, what about those hornet's bites? He said, praise God for a few hornet's bites. He was just happy that he got to go back up there and ride that elephant up into the mountain. But years ago, he told me about this village that he had read about, where all of these people that lived in the village began to get sick, and they became ill and more ill, and ultimately they began to die off. And they were just doing everything that they knew how to do to try to figure out what it was that was making all of their village sick. And they couldn't figure it out. And they had people coming in and trying to figure out what was going on. Well, finally, one day, some men from that village went upstream, and they found the source of that stream, which was an underground reservoir where the water shot out right by this rock. And there at that place where all the water shot out, a mother hog, a wild hog, had fallen into that stream with all of her little baby piglets and had drowned. And their rotting carcasses were there right at the source of that stream where all of the water gushed out from that underground reservoir. So all that water had to rush past those rotting carcasses before it got down to the village, which was their primary source of water. And so those men that were there, they went down there, they dove into that stream, and they got that hog out, and they got all of those little baby piglets out, and it wasn't too long before the people began to get better. Well, Jesus said that in the last day, the great day of the feast, let him who is thirsty come unto me, and out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And Jesus likens himself, he likens the Spirit of God to a body of water, something that flows out of God's throne, and if we drink of it, it can flow out of us as well to people who are sick and suffering and sighing and crying and dying and demon-possessed and devil-oppressed humanity. But over the centuries, church, listen to what I'm about to say. What has happened is that various groups have formed. And sometimes they've had really great leaders. And sometimes their leaders have been very popular but not very great. Don't get mad at me. And sometimes they have created what they want to be taught because they found some truth in the Word of God and they want to protect it. And so denominations were born. And what they've done is they've created a doctrine that might be applicable to one verse in the Bible, and they've taken that doctrine and they've shoved it into the stream right at the source of the water, and everything that comes out of that underground reservoir, they believe must be filtered through that doctrine. And then another group was born, and it created its doctrine, and it shoved it in there, and now everything has to come through that. And then another group was born, and it did the same thing. And now here we are in the year 2012, 2,000 years after Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. 2,000 years later, we have a church, and the stream sometimes has gotten so polluted with people who say speaking in tongues is of the devil and laying hands on the sick is nonsense, and we don't believe in that, and we don't believe in this, and we only believe this part of the Bible, and we're a seeker-sensitive church, and we're going to put everything in the back room. That way no one knows what we really believe. And they shoved those pigs down into the stream. And church, what it's time for the church of the living God to do is to go upstream and to find out from the source what God wants in this river. I travel all over the state, and it always amazes me, Pastor. I go into some churches, and they tell me, well, you just, not too much anymore, because I've gotten asked not to come back some places, but they've told me, they said, well, we don't speak in tongues on Sunday morning. Do you ever read that in the book of Hezekiah? Don't talk in tongues. Don't look in your Bible. Ain't no Hezekiah. Don't talk in tongues on Sunday morning. I mean, just all kinds of things going on in the body of Christ today that are completely unscriptural. We need to come back upstream and go to the source of this thing. So I want to, and I've introduced that, but I want to tell you a few things about the source of this river that Jesus talked about. First of all, in Acts chapter 1, we get the promise. Everybody look at me and shout the promise. The Bible says in Acts chapter 1, verse 4, and Jesus being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me, for John truly baptized with water, but you will be baptized in the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And in verse 8, and you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you will be witnesses. See, the difference, church, between people who have waited on the promise of the Father and those who have not waited on the promise of the Father is that those who haven't waited on the promise of the Father, they go out and they witness. But people who have waited on the promise of the Father don't have to go out and witness. They become witnesses. And the Bible says there's going to be so much power in this experience, Jesus says, that you will become a witness to me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria. And there's going to be so much power in this experience that you shall be a witness unto me into the uttermost parts of the earth. I got news for you this morning. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What he promised here in Acts chapter 1 is still available for you today. If you've been born again, if Jesus is your Lord, you have a right to the baptism in the Holy Ghost. And you ought not to, and I know nobody here would, but you ought not to have to leave your church to get the baptism in the Holy Ghost. And I've had some members of churches say to me after the service, would you pray for me to receive the Holy Ghost, but don't do it here because they don't like it. And they're a spirit-filled church. Isn't that a stench in the nostrils of God? Here Jesus, the last thing we have recorded that he says to his disciples is to wait for the promise of the Father. Don't leave home without it. Hallelujah. Don't leave home. There used to be a commercial or something. It was a credit card, I think. American Express. Don't leave home without it. What I got news for you, Jesus offers something better than American Express, and we ought not to leave home without it. Hallelujah. Now, that's the promise that was made. I want you to look, secondly, at the provision. We got the promise. Everybody shout promise. Promise. Now shout provision. In Acts chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven. Praise God for that. I say, heaven, you've been quiet too long. Make a sound. There came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. And it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Did you catch that? Here we have the first church. We have 120 of them there in the upper room. We have Peter and James and John. We have, thank God for the Catholics. We got the Blessed Virgin there. We got all of those who have been waiting on this promise of the Father that Jesus said they were supposed to tarry and to receive there in the upper room. And I can just imagine them up there, and here they hear this. They've been up there day by day praying, waiting, and then all of a sudden in the background they hear this. Boy, that's exciting. If you're ever in church and that happens, don't say, get out of here, go in the back room. We don't do that. No, let it be right in the middle of the service, praise God. And they hear that sound coming. And then what appears unto them is cloven tongues. You know, the Bible talks about two kinds of tongues. There's a tongue message that goes out to an audience and someone understands it and interprets it. And then there's another type of tongues that goes straight up to the Father, and that's between you and God. And the Bible says in the Spirit, no man understands you, howbeit in the Spirit you speak mysteries and edify yourself. And they got both of them, cloven tongues, divided tongues, set up on them, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. You say, Brother Keith, I just knew you were one of those tongue talkers. Hallelujah, you got it right. In fact, let me tell you, this is kind of, Pastor, you're my first place to preach this year. This month, I have been baptized in the Holy Ghost for 33 years. I've been talking in tongues for 33 years. Hallelujah. And I've been saved for 35 years. I got filled with the Holy Ghost 2 years after I got saved. I know you're looking at me and saying, but you're so attractive, Brother Keith. There's no way you could be that old. I am. I'm up there. But my youth is renewed like the eagles. But you know, I'm so glad. I'll tell you, you don't know the joy, church, if you haven't been filled with the Holy Ghost. You can't fathom the joy of being filled with the power of God until you speak in other tongues. Hallelujah. Oh, my goodness. They took me down the aisle. I'll never forget that. I went to this little wild church. Everybody was running and speaking in tongues and beating tambourines, and I thought, what's wrong with them? God ain't deaf. Well, he ain't nervous either. And they took me down to the front of that church. Here I was. I was a little Baptist boy. Everybody say, God bless the Baptist. Baptist born, Baptist bred, Baptist living, and Baptist dead. I wasn't going to be anything but a Baptist. And they had taught me in my Baptist church, I'm not saying all Baptist churches are like that, but I was taught in my Baptist church that speaking in tongues was of the devil, and that if I ever did something like that, I would go to hell. And they taught me in my Baptist church to stay away from people like you because you're fanatics. And so I went down there, and there's an evangelist down there by the name of Brother Al Fury from Australia. And I was down there, and he walked over and stood in front of me. He had finished preaching, and he said, so I hear you're down here to receive the Holy Ghost. That ain't what I went down there for. I didn't know what I was down there for. My friend's mother grabbed a hold of me and shoved me down there, and I didn't know what they were going to pray for. And she said, I hear you're here to receive the Holy Ghost. Well, you might as well have told me, I hear you're here to fly up to the moon. I didn't know what was going to happen to me or what to do. And I said, okay. And he said, so receive ye the Holy Ghost. He never touched me. And I remember, you know, it's been 33 years, but I remember what I prayed. I bowed my head. They were screaming and yelling and running and dancing like a bunch of fanatics. I felt like a Democrat at a Republican convention. And I bowed my head and I prayed. I remember my prayer. I said, oh, God in heaven, if this what they're talking about is of you, give it to me. And if it ain't, please get me out of here alive and I'll never bother these people again. And I prayed that prayer, and I looked up, and he never touched me. He said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. And when he said, receive ye the Holy Ghost, right then something fell on me. Sister Cheryl, something fell on me like electricity, and it permeated my mind. It went past my mind, and it went down into my spirit, and I felt something take hold there. It was as though I was completely inundated, flooded with a power, like I had shoved my hand into an electrical cell. And then suddenly I felt it rise out of my stomach, and it hit my vocal cords, and I had never heard in my life anything like this. But suddenly I said, Orabakashata, Oramata Langa Stanamatuye. And let me tell you something, Baptists don't do that. And when I said, Orabakashata, Evadeyanamokoya, both of my hands went up. You say, is that unusual? It's like having a Jericho march in the Vatican. Little hands go up when Baptist lights go off. Lights go on, little Baptist hands come down. I was in a Baptist church. If we raised our hand, they'd end the service, and we'd beat the Methodists to lubies. And I tell you what, both of my hands went up, and I prayed in tongues, 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 and I prayed in tongues. And then finally I got done, and I started praying in tongues, and I prayed in some more, and I prayed in tongues. And I don't know how long I was up there praying in tongues, but I know that God had promised, and I found out that God had provided. And they cooked me out of that church talking in tongues. Brother James, they put me in the back of my friend's car and laid me down in the back seat. I talked in tongues all the way home. They took me out of the car and put me into my parents' house, and I walked through the front door talking in tongues. My mom, God bless my mother, my mom was asleep on the sofa in the living room. It was about 9:30 at night. I just assumed that, you know, she would be real happy for me. Don't always make that assumption. And she had her back back to the front of the room, and I ran over to her, and I said, Mama! Mama! And she jumped up, and she ran to the back part of the house. And when she started running, man, that got me excited. I started running through the house praying in tongues. Hallelujah. I went to bed praying in tongues. I got up the next morning talking in tongues. They put me in the car and drove me to junior high school talking in other tongues. And then I went into Texas history. And the first day they passed out a pamphlet, a flyer. And the first question on the flyer was, how many languages do you speak? Hallelujah. Oh, my friend Troy, whose mother had driven me home from the church that night, he was leaned over and he said, please don't do it. Please don't do it. Please don't do it. Keith, they're going to ask you, and what are you going to say? I said, Troy, I'm going to say I talk in tongues. I cannot deny this. It's the most real experience I've ever had. And he said, oh, please don't get started again. Just shut up. Oh, I'm telling you, Jesus has provided, church, and you don't know the joy of serving Jesus with the power of the Holy Ghost upon you if you haven't been baptized in the Holy Ghost and speak in other tongues. Can I get a witness? Hallelujah. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. When my pastor, a couple of years before my pastor died, some of the people in the church who shall remain nameless came to him in a meeting and said, we want you to get away from the Holy Ghost, because if we get away from the Holy Ghost, we can move out of this building. We can have a church larger than 8,000 people. And my pastor said, you go have that church larger than 8,000 people. I don't care. I'm staying with the Holy Ghost. And thank God he stayed with the Holy Ghost in his last breath. He went to heaven talking about the Holy Ghost. Oh, I thank God for 33 years of the Holy Ghost. Thank you, my Father. Now, I said it's been promised. Everybody shout promised. It's been provided. Shout provided. Now, I want you to see what comes after the provision, and this is the perception. Shout perception. Shout it again. It says in chapter 2, verse 5, and there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men of every nation under heaven, and when they had taken these people and put them in the back room at the church and said, don't let anybody know about it. Isn't that what your Bible says? I can't hear you. Oh, I'm sorry. Let me read again. Oh, sorry. And when they had said, shut up, and on the door hanged a sign that said, Seeker Sensitive Church, I went from preaching to meddling, didn't I? The Bible says, and when all this talking in tongues was noised abroad, I say we need to stay with the Bible. What we have needs not to be confined into the four walls of this church. What we have needs to be noised outside of the church. It needs to be noised into the city of Pflugerville. It needs to go beyond the city of Pflugerville. It needs to permeate into the high schools and into the middle schools. It needs to flood the streets of Austin, Texas, and all around Austin, Texas. What we have is the baptism in the Holy Ghost. And we ought not to be ashamed of the power of the Holy Ghost. Oh, hallelujah. And when it was noised abroad, the Bible says, these people began to pay a notice to it. The multitude came together, and some of them were confounded. They didn't understand. And because they heard every man speak in their own language, that was the gift of tongues. And then it says after that, they were all amazed. And they marveled with one another, saying, are not all these that speak Galileans, and yet we hear everyone in our own tongue? And they start naming all of these people. And in verse 12, and they were all amazed and were in doubt. It is perfectly scriptural, folks, for people who are saved even, but people who are in the world, not everybody's going to believe it. Well, suppose you took that ideology and applied it to salvation. Not everyone that hears about Jesus is going to be saved. Does that mean we shouldn't talk about Jesus? Not everyone that hears about the baptism in the Holy Ghost is going to believe it. Does that mean that we should put it in the back room and be ashamed of it? No, people are going to be in doubt. It's perfectly scriptural for some to be in doubt. Oh, this story rises up out of my spirit. I'm making a book of all my stories. This is number 68, and I'm going to sell that book. And there was this girl back when I was in college. I love to tell this story. I don't know where this girl is today. Her name was Laura. And Laura was just a reprobate, and, I didn't like her too much, but I treated her with genteel hands because I knew that was the Christian thing to do. And Laura, she didn't like Christians, and everywhere she found Christians, boy, she would cuss them out. She'd tell them where to go and how to get there. She'd tell them how the rubber met the road and how the cow ate the cabbage. I mean, she just let us know. And then, lo and behold, one day Laura found out I talked in tongues. Oh, my goodness. You thought she was bad before. You should have seen her then. Every place I went on Texas State's campus, Laura seemed to be there. I would walk into the English department. Laura would be coming out. And what she started doing is she would come up behind me and she would follow me, and she didn't know, she had never heard anybody talk in tongues, you know. She'd get up behind me and she'd say, oh, boogity, 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 and that's her tongues there, you know. I would go to the business department, and here come Laura, boogity, 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 boogity. I would go into the dormitory. Laura would be coming out of the dormitory, boogity, 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 boogity. And I just loved her, and every time she did it, I'd say, God bless you, Laura. Jesus loves you. And one day, I got off the bus, and it wasn't the day. And at that time, that bus stop in our campus was right there in the very middle of campus. It's not there anymore, but there was a bus stop, and I got right off in the middle of it. Thousands of people walking by there, you understand? And Laura was coming down out of this building, and I was headed up into that building, and there were only one set of stairs, and it was the one that both of us were on. And so she's coming down, and I'm going up. And I said, Lord, I'm just not in the mood today. Couldn't you have found some good Methodist to send her to? I said, I'm just not in the mood today. I don't feel like being congenial. And I just said, well, maybe she'll just walk past me, you know, and we'll all be genteel. Think again. We met right there in the middle of that step, and I was going to walk right past her. I never will forget. She went, blocked me. And she looked at me and she said, boogity, 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 boogity. The power of God came down on me in front of that building on that campus like a magnet, like heat. It drove out any thoughts of timidity that I had ever had in my life. And I remember the words that I used. I looked at her and I said, stand still. And she got real still real quick. And I lifted up both of my hands, thousands of people walking by me. I said, Lord Jesus, I know that there are those who are ashamed of you, and I'm not one of them. Mark me down as one who's not ashamed. I'm not ashamed to say that Jesus is my Lord, and I'm not ashamed to say that I am filled with your power. Ketobo randalaba shandiyodobo koseta. Idionomo karima zebolobo ringadaba shatalaba seto. Kepatai yobo drang. I don't know how long I stayed there talking in tongues. When I got done talking in tongues, that girl was pale. She looked at me. I never forget what she said. She looked at me and she said, you're bizarre. And I looked at her and I said, that's right. I am a chosen generation, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that I should show forth the praises of him. He's called me out of his darkness into his marvelous light, and I'm not ashamed of the power of God. You know, I never did have any more problems with Laura. Never. I ended, I looked at her, I said, you serve the devil and I serve God, and I won't equal time. Never bothered me again. I'm telling you, some people are going to be in doubt. Others are going to marvel. Others are going to marvel at you. But listen, you can't be ashamed of the Holy Ghost. You have to let the Holy Ghost rise up in you. God not only has promised it, God not only has provided it, there is a perception, and the perceptions can't be formed if people never hear. Did you know that? Tongues are for a sign, not to those who believe, but to those who believe not. I might as well tell this other story while I'm thinking about it. Didn't tend to tell all my stories. That was 68. This is number 76. A couple of years ago, I was driving in Nederland, Texas. Anybody know where Nederland is? I'm sorry. Well, I was driving down in Nederland, Texas, and I was a mentor to this young man named Chris. And Chris had told me as soon as I started mentoring him, he was 18 years old. He had told me, he said, I want you to know I'm an agnostic. That means he doesn't know whether there's a God or not. He hadn't made up his mind. And he said, I just want you to know that because I've heard, you see, people are going to hear, I heard that you're one of those Christians. And I said, well, I'll be just as genteel as I can. You know, I'll be just as nice as I can. And Chris and I did pretty well for a couple of years. I mean, I just lived normally around him, and he just ignored me. And that worked out pretty well until one day we were driving down the road. And suddenly, as we were driving down the road, the power of God came on me as I was driving the car. And as I was driving that car, I heard. I mean, there are times when you've heard God. I heard God, and I heard the Holy Ghost, and he was saying, let me demonstrate. 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 And I said, you need to shut up. 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 And the Holy Ghost said, let me demonstrate. 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 I almost had a nervous breakdown right there driving, listening to the Holy Ghost. Have you been there? And I said, Chris, he was sitting in the passenger seat. I said, I don't know what's going on, but I got to tell you that I am not only born again, that Jesus is my Lord, but I am also filled with the Holy Ghost. And I talk in other tongues. He didn't even know what that was. He said, what does that mean? I said, well, it's when you are full of Jesus and then you ask him to baptize you in his spirit and another language begins to come out of you. And the Bible says that you pray spirit to spirit and speak mysteries to God and edify yourself. And he said, well, that's just fine. He said, but I don't believe it. I said, I'm not asking you to believe it. I'm telling you right now, the Holy Ghost is rising up in me, and I got to pray in other tongues. And you're just going to have to overlook me for a minute because I'm about to get a little bit fanatical up in this car. And I don't do this. I was driving the car. I lifted both of my hands. And I said, oh, Ramashandala Bokuyanda Bashaya, Ifa Taga Satabashote, oh, Rima Pakaya, oh, Rima Pakaya, oh, Rima Pakaya. And I prayed in tongues and prayed in tongues. And when I stopped praying in tongues, you know, he had been real quiet during all this. So I turned and I looked at him. He was over to my right. I never will forget this. I never will forget Chris sitting there. And he had his hand out like this, and he had his fist, and he was going like this. I thought he was going to hit me. He was just hitting his hand like that. And I looked at him and I said, well, I feel better now. And he said, well, I don't. And I said, well, what on earth is wrong with you? And I never will forget what Chris said. He said, they never told me. They never told me. They never told me. And I said, they never told you what? What are you talking about? He said, I went to my, well, he was a Catholic. Everybody say, God bless the Catholics. Ain't nothing wrong with that. He said, I am a Catholic, and I went to my priest, and I said, do you have any evidence on this earth today that Jesus Christ is real, that he still performs miracles, that he's still present in people's lives? Is he the same as he was 2,000 years ago? Do you have any evidence? And that priest looked at me, Chris said, and he told me, on the earth today, there is no evidence that Jesus is real. It's purely a matter of faith. And he said, if they would have told me 15 years ago, he was only about 18, 19, 20 years old. He said, if they would have told me 15 years ago, when I was just a little boy, and I went into that church, and I asked them if there was any evidence that Jesus was real, I would have given my life to serve in him. But nobody ever told me. Gabriel, sound the saddest note upon your trumpet and put the flag of heaven at half mast. In the darkest hour of human history, when the Antichrist is getting ready to manifest himself, and plagues and drought and all kinds of poverty is engulfing the human race, this is what we have in the church world today. Oh, I say we need to rise up. Church, we don't need to be some weak little timid seeker sensitive something or another who's ashamed of prophesying, praying for the sick, casting out devils, and speaking in tongues. You ought to go right in the middle of Walmart and say Kolabashandra Handarabokoshea and see how many people will come and get under the flag of Jesus with you. Just do it and see how many people will come up to you and say, pray for me, I got this problem. See how many people will come up to you and say, pray for my family, we're going through troubles. But they gotta know. They got to know. Do you understand? They have to know. So I talked about the provision. I talked about the promise. I talked about the perception. Now I'm going to tell you where it's placed. The placement. Everybody say the placement. The placement. If you turn into Acts chapter 3, it says, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And there came to him a certain man, not came, there was a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, and they laid him at the gate. You realize they're out in the street. If you read the book of Acts, I challenge you to find as many miracles as you can that took place inside of the synagogue. Where did the miracles take place? Where are those who have demons driven out of them? Where are those who are lame and on their beds, unable to walk? The paralyzed, the quadriplegic, where are those? They're in the streets. And the disciples went to the streets where they were and brought deliverance to them there. In just a couple of chapters, the Bible says the power of God descended so mightily upon Peter that they put the sick into the streets and the demon possessed into the streets that it just the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow them and they'd find deliverance because of his shadow. That's being so full of the power of God that even the shadow of your presence brings deliverance to all you encounter. That's where we need to be, church. That's where we need to be. That's what fills our churches up. It's not the service that we have. It's the service that we provide when we go out. That's the true service. That's the New Testament service. So the placement of that power is out in the streets. Out there where sick and suffering and sighing and crying and dying and demon possessed and devil oppressed and benighted humanity who have been stricken with paralysis, who have been stricken in their marriages with divorce, who have been stricken with their children not serving God. Oh, they need to hear about this Jesus that I'm talking about this morning. Hallelujah. The last thing I want to tell you is this. The fifth thing is I want you to see the purpose. The purpose. Look at me and shout purpose. Purpose. Shout it again. Purpose. Why do we need this power of the Holy Ghost upon us? Well, if you look at the end of Acts chapter 2 in the last two or three verses, Actually, let's go back. I want you to look at this at the end of Acts chapter 1. Look in verse 23. You know, Judas has betrayed Jesus, and the 11 disciples that are left are trying to find out who they should put in there to replace him. And so they come up with Joseph and Matthias. And then look in verse 25. They're praying that God would reveal to them who should be the apostle from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots. Do you know today we would count that as witchcraft? We would. We would count it as witchcraft. Some versions say they drew straws to find out who should serve God. Another version says, and I think this might be more accurate, that they took off their signet rings, because this was the Roman tradition. This is a signet ring. They took off their signet ring that had the family crest in it, and they tossed it up in the air, and whichever rings landed inside the vase that they sat there would be the person that they chose. Again, we would count that as witchcraft. But listen, folks, why did they do that? Because they weren't filled with the Holy Ghost yet. The purpose of the Holy Ghost is so that you can hear from God. I mean, after Acts chapter 1, honey, you can't find them casting lots anymore. Jesus speaks to them directly. Go this way and they go. Go that way and they go. Go over here and they go. Go this way and they go. Ain't no drawing of lots. The purpose of the Holy Ghost is to equip you so that you can have communication with your Father. When you pray in your natural language, you are praying from your mind. But when you pray in other tongues, you are praying from your spirit. It bypasses your mind. It goes directly to the throne of God. You pray in perfect alignment with the will of God. And the Bible says that you edify yourself. That word edify in Greek means that you bring on your life supernatural assistance. You edifieth yourself. You bring supernatural assistance to you. Take it the other way. You don't pray in tongues. You don't bring supernatural assistance to yourself. You pray in tongues, you got the promise that you are bringing supernatural assistance to yourself. But you have to give yourself over to it. You can't say, well, if I get time next April, I'll work it into my calendar. I mean, you have to be available. You have to be ready. You have to be sitting on go. When God wakes you up at 2 a.m. and says, pray in tongues, you got to say, all right, Jesus. When God tells you and you get home from school or you get home from work or you get home from whatever you do, God says, instead of going in there and sweeping and mopping the kitchen floor, I would like for you to take about 30 minutes and pray in other tongues to me. You got to say, yes, Lord, I'll do it. Oh, my goodness, how many times has the Holy Ghost descended upon me and said, pray, pray in other tongues, pray in other tongues, pray in other tongues, pray in other tongues, and that supernatural assistance has come. One time I was praying in my living room, just walking up and down and praying, and the Holy Ghost fell upon me, and I began to pray in other tongues, and I began to intercede, and I didn't know exactly what I was praying for, but suddenly in front of me came an image of a young man that I knew from another church, and I realized as I was praying in tongues that I was praying for him, and I thought, well, I need to call him, and I went over and I picked up the phone, and I dialed it, and it was busy, and so I hung up, and I kept praying in tongues, and I picked up the phone a little later, and I called him, and it was busy, and I hung up. And I just kept praying in tongues, unable to get through. And about 3 days later, I saw that young man. He attended the Bible study that I was teaching at that time in Houston. And when he walked into the Bible study, he had scratches and bruises all over his head, contusions, all different types of problems. And I walked over to him, and I called his name. And I said, what on earth happened to you? And he said, it happened Friday night at 8 o'clock. You know what time the Holy Ghost had come on me? Friday night at 8 o'clock, he said, my father got upset with me. He took me into a room. He locked the door, put the key in his pocket, and wouldn't let me out of the door. Then he held me down on the ground and began to beat me in the head with everything that he could find in that room. And he said, I told him, I said, well, I was trying to call you right then. He said he had knocked the phone off the hook. And I didn't have his cell phone number. He had knocked the phone for the house line off the hook. He said, but you know, it is unusual because we had been in that right about 8 o'clock. For some reason, he just got up and he looked at me and said, I'm through with you. And he walked out of the door, left him alone. You say, well, why didn't he take? I don't know. I don't know why God didn't move and have that boy cast the devil out of his daddy. I don't know. Maybe he didn't know how. But God moved upon me. Just a couple of years ago, I was driving in Houston, and I was behind a car in front of me, and we were going 70 miles an hour down the interstate, and I was praying in tongues, getting ready to go teach at a church, and all of a sudden, I heard the Holy Ghost say, stop! I almost jumped out of the car. He said, stop! And I hit my brakes because it scared me so bad. And as soon as I hit my brakes, the car that was about 4 or 5 car lengths in front of me, but now had become about 20 car lengths in front of me, the right rear tire came off the car and it bounced. And it landed about 20 feet in front of my car. If I wouldn't have hit my brakes, it would have come right through my windshield. I'm talking about the purpose of the Holy Ghost. It's for more than so we can just sit around and occasionally say Ola Bakata and say I prayed in tongues today. The purpose of the Holy Ghost is to give us supernatural communication with our Father. The purpose of the Holy Ghost is to set us on fire so that we can be a flame, a brightness, a something that the world can look at and say, I don't know what they have. I don't know what kind of power this is, but it's something that I haven't seen in the body of Christ. It's something that I haven't noticed among my parents. It's something that I haven't seen among the church people, and I want it. Oh, that's what we got to have, church. That's what we got to have. We got to have the power of God so alive in us that people look at it and they say, I may not know what it is, but I want it. 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 Pote kashapatada. I'm getting revelation. If you will, close your eyes. I don't want anybody to see this. There's somebody here, you're a woman, and the Lord tells me you're suffering from extreme depression. I mean, depression is dogging your tracks, and if you don't get help, you just don't know what you're going to do. And I'm not going to call you out. You don't have to worry about me embarrassing you. But in a minute, we're going to have an altar call, and you can come up here and get deliverance if you want. But while everybody's eyes are closed, would you raise your hand if that's you? Extreme depression. I come against depression in the name of Jesus. I bind depression in the name of Jesus. Depression, you won't have your way among the people of God. I charge you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Come out! Okay, you can look up. You say, what was that all about? I don't know. I just, when that happens, I obey the Holy Ghost. They put me on TBN. It happened right in the middle of the telecast. I turned to him. I said, excuse me. I said, may I obey the Holy Ghost? Thank God he was filled. He said, go ahead. I called out a woman who had something wrong with her neck, prayed for her to get healed. She called the station. Her neck got healed instantaneously. Thank God it was a tumor, and it just went away. Thank God. You say, well, that's you. No, that's the Holy Ghost. That's the Holy Ghost I'm talking about today, church. That's the Holy Ghost that you can have. And I'm talking about more than just maybe two or three words that you one time got when you went down to the altar because somebody forced you. I'm talking about a relationship with the Holy Ghost that you can have daily and be unashamed of the power of God. In just a few minutes, we're going to have an altar call, and I want to challenge you. Pastor asked me to give the service back to him before the altar call, and I'm going to do that. But I want to challenge you not to leave. There are people here you need. I know. The Lord told me there are people who need to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. And that's why I'm preaching right on this line today. The Lord told me also that there are people here who have been filled with the Holy Ghost, and that filling has been depleted. It's been depleted. You know, in the Bible, Acts chapter 6, Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 7, they kept getting refilled. Now, they kept their prayer language, but they didn't just walk away from the altar and that was the end of it. You might need a fresh touch from God, and I'm going to pray for you if that's the case. And then finally, I'm going to pray for people who have needs in their body, perhaps. But there's one thing I want to ask. I always ask this, and that's before I walk away from this altar. Is there anyone here today, and there may not be, but there may be, and I would just be amiss if I didn't ask this, and I would be remiss if I didn't ask this. You've never asked Jesus to be the Lord of your life. I did that 35 years ago. I've never regretted that decision. I asked Jesus to be the Lord of my life. I gave my life to him. I didn't feel anything that day. I just said, this is it. I went down that little aisle at that Baptist church, and that deacon met me down there. I guess he was, I don't know what deacons do. I guess he was deacon. And he met me down there, and he said, do you want Jesus to be your Lord? I said, absolutely, I want to be born again. And he said, I remember I told him, I said, I don't care what I feel like. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care if I live till tomorrow or if I live to be 100. I will serve Jesus all the days of my life. That was 35 years ago, and I'm still serving him today. So I want to ask you, if you're here and you're not born again, and you'd say, hey, I'm not ashamed of Jesus. I want to receive him as my Lord. That's me. Pray for me. If you will, lift your hand and wave it at me. Anybody in here, you're not born again, and you want Jesus to be your Lord, and you say, I've never done that. Pray for me. Don't be ashamed. Lift your hand and wave it at me. I can sort of see you through the lights, and I don't think any hands are up. So I think, Pastor, that everyone here is ready to meet Jesus. What a great testament to this church. In just a moment, I'll be praying for you. Thank you for having me here today. I love you. God bless you. Pastor Mike.